610 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The government today reports on economic growth during April, May, and June. This after Wall Street's worst day in 2 years on Wednesday.
Stocks went into a free fall a day after Tesla and Alphabet, Google's parent company, had their worst day since 2022. Analysts say the drop was inevitable, with big tech stocks getting too expensive on the market's latest run. There were other factors, including economic data and the upcoming presidential election, which could impact the market for months to come.
ABC's Daria Albinger, about to be released after 33 years in Missouri prison for a 1990 murder he always maintained he did not commit. The state Supreme Court ordered Christopher Dunn to remain in custody while the Missouri Attorney General appeals a court order he be released because of new evidence. The Senate Judiciary and Homeland Security Committees will hold a joint hearing next Tuesday on the Trump assassination attempt. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Last we knew, an armed and dangerous man was still on the loose in the Baraboo area. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
It started with an attempted traffic stop. That led to a chase, stop sticks, then a crash. Baraboo police say the man started shooting at them, then ran into the woods. One deputy has a minor injury. There was a shelter-in-place order that's since been lifted. The suspect is 32-year-old Jeffrey Edward Miller, with brown, short, or shaved hair and a medium-length beard with tattoos on his face. If you see him, call 911.
Savannah Tomei Olson reporting. A safety reminder for ATV and UTV riders. 20 people have died in recreational vehicle crashes in Wisconsin this year. Last year, 95% of fatal crash victims were not wearing a helmet. Wardens say remember to wear safety equipment. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Concern for Christian Yelich. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers battled back to beat the Cubs 3-2 at Wrigley Field to win the series in Chicago. So for the season, the Brewers and Pat Murphy had an overall record of 8-5 against the Cubs and manager Craig Counsell. But the team placing Christian Yelich on the 10-day injury list while he seeks medical advice for his sore back. He may end up with season-ending surgery. Pat Murphy.
Yeah, like I said, you know, losing Christian's huge. It could be devastating, but this team hasn't been devastated by much. You know, they kind of, I really appreciate that. I'm grateful that you have a group. Again, I keep saying this game's about people.
The Brewers return home. They open a 3-game series against the Marlins tomorrow night. And the team has signed Jaden Fielder to a minor league deal. The 19-year-old infielder from Florida is the son of Prince Fielder. NFL talks between the Packers and the agents for Jordan Love continue. Meanwhile, tomorrow morning is the Packers' first training camp practice in pads, open to the public at 10:30 with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You took the first step and quit smoking. But even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin Representative Mark Pocan joins us in hour number one. Hour number two, all things sports with J.R. Ratcliffe and Brittany Merlot for a little weather and wine. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Today is going to be a pretty nice day, but after today, it is going to gradually get warmer and more humid as we head into the weekend. Sunny today, 81, south wind at around 5. Tonight, clear, 56. Tomorrow, sunny, 85. The weekend, sunny, warm, and muggy with highs in the upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
busted pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
Brandi Weingarten, the dynamic and influential president of the American Federation of Teachers.
The Heritage Foundation want their way of life rather than the diverse, pluralistic democracy that has been America for 247 years. It's this fight between anger and aspiration.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome all the way from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Comedy Sports' own Mike Kauf. And it's National Wine and Cheese Day, so we'll act all sophisticated and talk wine and cheese.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
Good morning and welcome to the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff, filling in for Farm Director Pam Yonke. This week, we saw the latest milk production numbers from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. It says a lot about how dairy production is shifting across the U.S. One item we're watching is how the margin between California and Wisconsin is slowly shrinking. Even though Wisconsin is proudly America's dairy land, California has been the nation's leading dairy state since 1993. But their lead on us is getting smaller. We'll get help understanding why later in the hour with EverEgg. Also today, the Farm Wisconsin Discovery Center is celebrating 6 years of showcasing agriculture and teaching people about farming in our state. We've got exciting events happening now through Saturday, including baby farm animals. We'll learn more about it this morning from our own Ben Jarbo. Stick around.
At Compeer Financial, being here for you means something. With your loan, you access far more than financing. Enjoy member benefits like discounts on personal and business expenses, financial education, and special events, plus patronage, essentially reducing the costs of the funds you borrowed. Compeer Financial, here for you. Find out more today. Call 844-426-6733 or visit compeer.com/member-benefits. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
Hey, Wisconsin, this year's statewide science festival is featuring agriculture, and we need your help. The Science Festival is a free event that reaches all corners of the state and showcases technology, engineering, and more to 40,000 people of all ages. The festival is looking for individuals and organizations to host or volunteer at these events. This year's festival will be held in more than 50 counties from October 14th through the 20th. Visit WisconsinScienceFest.org to sign up to help today.
Well, now if you drive around the state of Wisconsin, you're really starting to see some of the damage that was caused from all the heavy rainfall earlier this spring. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. I'm not just talking about stunted corn or open patches in fields. There were some real erosion issues that were compounded because of all that rain. Terry Cosby noticed it too. Terry Cosby is the chief of the Natural Resource Conservation Service under the U.S. Department of Agriculture. He was in Wisconsin a couple weeks ago and had an opportunity to drive around the state and make those very same observations. Cosby told me one of the things that he wants more people to realize, they're not just there to try to help farmers and their conservation goals. They're there for communities that may suffer after heavy rains like what we saw this spring.
You know, one of the things that we've done for our 90-year history is put practices on the ground, conservation practices. And that's kind of what the Inflation Reduction Act is. President Biden, back last year, made a historic, huge investment in conservation. And one of the things that happened there is NRCS was the recipient of $19.5 billion that was added to our budget to look at these programs that we administer. And so it's been a tremendous uptick. Someone like myself, that's been at USDA for 45 years and waited for an opportunity like this, and now we have this opportunity, and now we're able to go out and hit more producers.
Wisconsin has been engaged with NRCS in a lot of different ways. Tell me a little bit about either how Wisconsin has been successful accessing the funds or what's coming new that we might want to re-educate ourselves on.
You know, Wisconsin has always been one of the leaders in conservation. I can remember back when my brother was the state conservationist here and the state director, and they had some terrific things going on. We have had some great state leaders. We have great employees here. You know, the thing that I want to really focus on employees, our field office employees, that are ones that are out there working with those farmers every day, landowners, producers every day to get this conservation completed. And one of the things I'm looking at right now is the money that we're sending out from Washington, D.C., Wisconsin is doing a great job of getting it out to the farmers.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about one thing that is challenging for everybody. I put in a request. How are you doing on staff to implement some of these plans, Chief Cosby? And I only ask that because it is so popular in Wisconsin. That can be one of the foibles that stubs some projects.
You know, one of the things that we work really hard on is hiring folks. You know, when I came into the job 3.5, almost 4 years ago, we were at about 8,000 employees. Yeah. We're over 11,000 today and hiring more. One of the keys to us is the partnership that we have with a lot of the organization, NGOs and just environmental groups, and that brings about another 6,000 folks to the table to help us with this work. So we are heavily recruiting. Over the next 2 or 3 years, I'd like to see about 4,000 more new employees come in, plus about 3,000 partner employees. But it's going to take a lot of folks to get this work completed.
And now let's talk about some of the newer projects that you'd like to see this funding accelerate forward. Conservation is a very broad term. Where do you see growth areas, Chief Cosby, and where do you see new opportunities?
The biggest growth area I see is the folks that we've never had in our doors before. Mm-hmm. We're talking about some of the underserved groups. We're talking about beginning farmers. We're talking about veteran farmers. We're talking about a lot of folks that we've never seen before. Mm-hmm. We had almost a 300% increase in traffic into our offices last year. And so it's been a tremendous help. A lot of folks walking through the door. One of the things that we continue to do, we've been in existence in 90 years. We've been doing conservation practices for that long. So it really hasn't changed. We're still doing those practices, but we have to have more of that out on the landscape if we're going to help this climate.
I know that you mentioned veterans, for example. That's a group that is suddenly very engaged in agriculture, and a lot of community access groups, too, that you're going to be speaking with here in Wisconsin.
You know, there's a lot of different ways we do this. One of them is through urban agriculture. We have a lot of folks out there that, you know, they want to be involved. A lot of these folks move from the country, move the town. They've been gone maybe a couple generations. They still have that farming or that raising a garden in their blood. And so they want to do this. So we've, through our farm bill, we've made access to urban agriculture. And it is very popular. And we saw this really, really hit home during COVID when we were running short of food in some of these places. So folks, a lot of folks want to grow the food and they want to buy local.
Let's follow up on that, Chief Cosby, because I think you're right. You mentioned about the 300% increase in people coming through your doors. Do you think that the pandemic and that sudden surprise about where is my food, where am I going to get it, is that still resonating?
I think it is. I think a lot of folks are still thinking about, you know, we're one something away from a disaster or something. And so, okay, how are we going to feed ourselves? How are we going to feed our family? And so, but the other thing is, just think about the nutritional value that you gain from growing it yourself, and you can pick it right off the vine and you can take it in and eat it right there. And so that's the important part of this, is the nutritional value.
If you're just stepping in, Terry Cosby is the chief of the Natural Resource Conservation Service in Wisconsin for the National Sand County Foundation gathering. Let's talk a little bit more about current situations. Everything on the news is about flooding, loss of dams, major erosion. Time for natural resource conservation to be able to step into the middle of projects. And also, you mentioned our longstanding history in Wisconsin of conservation projects, but those conservation projects may need upkeep, maintenance. What do you got up your sleeve for those projects, Chief Cosby?
You know, one of the things that our agency, we pride ourselves on, we want to be proactive. We want to get out and make sure that we're working with producers, writing conservation plans. That's our bread and butter. Just going out, walking the land, walking every acre, being with producers, and trying to give alternatives on things they could do there. But unfortunately, we've had to be reactionists too, because we're reacting to all these natural disasters. Last year, we responded to over 80 natural disasters. We're up over 50 this year. When you talk about the fires in the West, when you talk about the flooding, hurricanes, and just these freak storms that are happening around the country, and we get a call, we go out, and we try to assist with that, because there is a lot of property damage. Especially when we talk about watershed projects, we're talking about life and damage to property. And so we have been a jack of all trades, and we've been pretty good at it.
Well, and like you said, addressing immediate need and still trying to think long term on some of these projects. And like I said, maintenance. Does NRCS have maintenance programs to try to be ahead of that disaster?
You know, as we put these practices on the ground, we put those in. They have a lifespan. And we talk to producers about maintaining them because you have to give them care and over the years to make sure they maintain. Some, you know, last 10, 15, 20, 25 years. Right. And so we want to do that. You know, we do some follow-up with producers to look at the practices that they put in, especially when we drive by or we are on the farm and try to work with those folks. But long-term care is what is needed here. And then some of the practices, you know, are just an annual practice, and we have to look at that. You know, when I came in, we used to do a lot of rotation. It was a corn bean, maybe an oats, a couple of years of meadow, and long-term, that was great, but now it seems like we're in the corn-soybean rotation, and if you're not using some type of reduced till, you're going to have what I've been seeing on the road today as we've been driving around, where you're having some of this rill and gully erosion that's happening, so we're going to have to get back to basics.
Now, as far as access and ultimate measurement of what success looks like, you mentioned at the outset of this conversation, the big plan is to try to reduce our footprint on the earth, try to make sure that we're not sitting in Wisconsin with 90% humidity. Do you folks look at that element on projects, and do you look at it at the end of projects?
Yeah, when we talk about Inflation Reduction Act, we talk about a lot of the things that we do. We're looking at outcomes. You know, how can we help with greenhouse gases? Well, when we're looking at methane, when we're looking at CO2, carbon that's going in, you know, up into the atmosphere, how can we reduce those things? So when we look at the Inflation Reduction Act, we have a group of practices that we say that will help with that and mitigate a lot of those. And so there's 53 of them right now, but we have a long list that we do on the Farm Bill. A lot of this work that we're doing on climate has to have climate results or outcome results, because we're spending a lot of money here, and the public is going to want to know, what are we getting for those dollars?
For sure. That's Terry Cosby. He is the chief of the Natural Resource Conservation Service at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Now, we just added our new state conservationist in Madison. Nathan Fickert is his name. He's on board. And there are staff members all across the state of Wisconsin that would be happy to help you get access to some of the conservation monies and the programs that are available. The best thing to do, just Google NRCS Wisconsin, and it'll take you to the Wisconsin homepage. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's entertaining. It's competitive. It's the Lumberjack World Championships in Hayward. Cheer on amateurs, semi-pro, and professionals at the Lumberjack Bowl on August 1st through the 3rd. Find a schedule at lumberjackworldchampionships.com. Also in Hayward, hop aboard a vintage trolley to learn about the city's colorful past and present. Four tours available Friday, August 2nd. Visit the Sawyer County Historical Society for details and registration. Over to Amory, and Friday night, August 2nd, it's the Revved Up Dance Party happening at the Mixa, fun venue with great music starting at 6 p.m. And celebrate the 71st anniversary of Flamborama, described as Park Falls' longest hometown gathering. Event planners say it's going to be bigger and better than ever. Save the dates to join the fun of Flamborama, August 2nd through the 4th. Enjoy, and until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, sticky melody.
Hey, careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
This whole week, I've been trying to think of some maneuver I could say that would go viral and totally sell my soul for extra cash. I'm not putting myself above that.
How about Schwabba Habba? Or Schwabidada? Or Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong? Instead of the more you know, it just says Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong with a rainbow and a star shooting star.
Conrad, I think we got our promo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at President Biden's address to the nation and your phone calls as well. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Uranes diluting the oxygen in the water. Fisheries supervisor Thomas Mronick says the good news is that these events usually don't have a lasting impact on the fish population.
You would think that, you know, all fishing is going to be terrible, but sometimes that's not the case. A lot of times fish can find safe areas, you know, to get out of the poor DO, and they can survive. And so they're pretty good at that. So the only really way to know is to wait and see what happens after we start to recover from these low dissolved oxygens. And potentially, you know, we can get out there in the next year or whatever or so and do a small survey and see what we see.
Thomas Mronick is the fisheries supervisor out of Oshkosh for the Wisconsin DNR. And now let's take a look at our ag weather forecast today. Stu Muck joins us. He's our ag meteorologist. Stu, it doesn't sound right to say that fish also look forward to dry days, but apparently that's the case. The good news is I think you've got some dry weather for us on the way.
We've got a few more dry days. You're right, Stephanie. I hope the fish don't have to jump out of the water, you know, to catch a breath when it gets that wet. Yeah, right. Anyway, let's talk about a nice system with a high pressure center right over northern parts of Wisconsin, a frontal boundary that extends from the western parts of the Dakotas down to southern Illinois and back up into the New England states up through Pennsylvania and New York. It's keeping rain far and away from us. A few showers in far southeast Iowa and western Illinois this morning. That all stays away. I expect we'll have a nice dry day, although a little foggy in some locations to start out. That fog's going to burn off and sunshine will win out. Sunny and slowly warming up then today, tomorrow, Saturday, on towards Sunday. But by Sunday, a frontal boundary tries to drop in from the northwest. I think we begin to see some rain chances in the mid or late afternoon when things really heat up. That chance of a scattered shower or storm could build in later Sunday or Sunday evening. Maybe a little more likelihood on toward Monday or Tuesday into next week that some more rain will be developing and edging in here, along with that very warm daytime high temps, mid and upper 80s, with heat indexes pushing even higher. I'll have that forecast detail right after this.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lepenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
All right, Stu. So we are, you know, we want to know what the harvest looks like for you. We want to see what's going out outside your window. Send us a text at 877-301-FARM. Stu, what do you got for the forecast today? I know we're looking forward to nice and dry.
Yeah, some summertime weather, a little morning fog here and there, kind of that real damp, soggy morning start, but mostly sunny skies will win out today. Upper 70s, a few low 80s to be seen as winds become east around 5. Clear skies tonight, that fog again a possibility late, will fall into the upper 50s or stay near 60 with an east wind at 5. Tomorrow, more sunshine then developing in the daytime, low 80s, and the winds become more southeast at 5, and by Saturday, even sunny and warmer, heading up toward the mid-80s with the south winds at 5 to 10. Upper 80s, I expect, into Sunday then, Stephanie, and there is that rain chance toward late in the day.
Yep, yeah. And hey, again, 877-301-FARM, whether you're cutting alfalfa, whether you're harvesting winter wheat, we want to know about it. You can send us a text or you can give us a call at 877-301-FARM. You're not going to want to go anywhere. The Old Farmer's Almanac has a chore list for you today that makes sense with the forecast. And Everegg joins us later in the hour. Stay tuned.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Matt Nair on air.
John Ellingson is our guest. He's one of the co-directors of the Eau Claire Cube League.
It's a Swedish yard game. You would toss a baton trying to knock down your opponent's cubes.
You have teams from all over the country. What are some of the other names that stuck out to you?
Cube Hand Luke.
Nice. Yeah.
The Salty Batons.
Oh. Do you call the last 16 teams the Swedish 16?
Oh, I'm writing that down. That's pretty good.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project.
Project 2025 says that for the first time in 30 years, we want to restart testing of nuclear weapons. Tell me who that's good for. Yeah. I'm not sure it's really good for anybody. I have no proof of this. I think Donald Trump wants to see a mushroom cloud. I think he wants to feel the warm glow of an H-bomb on his pasty orange skin. I think he wants to feel the power.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The government today reports on economic growth during April, May, and June. This after Wall Street's worst day in 2 years on Wednesday.
Stocks went into a free fall a day after Tesla and Alphabet, Google's parent company, had their worst day since 2022. Analysts say the drop was inevitable, with big tech stocks getting too expensive on the market's latest run. There were other factors, including economic data and the upcoming presidential election, which could impact the markets for months to come.
ABC's Daria Albinger, about to be released after 33 years in Missouri prison for a 1990 murder he always maintained he did not commit. The state Supreme Court ordered Christopher Dunn to remain in custody while the Missouri Attorney General appeals a court order he be released because of new evidence. The Senate Judiciary and Homeland Security Committees will hold a joint hearing next Tuesday on the Trump assassination attempt. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Last we knew, an armed and dangerous man was still on the loose in the Baraboo area. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
It started with an attempted traffic stop. That led to a chase, stop sticks, then a crash. Baraboo police say the man started shooting at them, then ran into the woods. One deputy has a minor injury. There was a shelter-in-place order that's since been lifted. The suspect is 32-year-old Jeffrey Edward Miller with brown, short, or shaved hair and a medium-length beard with tattoos on his face. If you see him, call 911.
Savannah Tomei Olson reporting. A safety reminder for ATV and UTV riders. 20 people have died in recreational vehicle crashes in Wisconsin this year. Last year, 95% of fatal crash victims were not wearing a helmet. Wardens say remember to wear safety equipment. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Concern for Christian Yelich. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers battled back to beat the Cubs 3-2 at Wrigley Field to win the series in Chicago. So for the season, the Brewers and Pat Murphy had an overall record of 8-5 against the Cubs and manager Craig Counsell. But the team placing Christian Yelich on the 10-day injury list while he seeks medical advice for his sore back, he may end up with season-ending surgery. Pat Murphy.
Yeah, like I said, you know, losing Christian's huge. It could be devastating, but this team hasn't been devastated by much. You know, they kind of, I really appreciate that. I'm grateful that you have a group. Again, I keep saying this game's about people.
The Brewers return home. They open a 3-game series against the Marlins tomorrow night. And the team has signed Jaden Fielder to a minor league deal. The 19-year-old infielder from Florida is the son of Prince Fielder. NFL talks between the Packers and the agents for Jordan Love continue. Meanwhile, tomorrow morning is the Packers' first training camp practice in pads, open to the public at 10:30 with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning includes our Women Win Wisconsin segment and a visit with Joe Zepecki as we digest the significance of this week's Wisconsin political headlines.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Today is going to be a pretty nice day, but after today, it is going to gradually get warmer and more humid as we head into the weekend. Sunny today, 81, south wind at around 5. Tonight, clear, 56. Tomorrow, sunny, 85. The weekend, sunny, warm, and muggy with highs in the upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
The president ends his re-election campaign.
And the Civic Media team led by Todd Albaugh and Terry Bell brings you the breaking news.
After days, if not weeks, of advice to pull out of his re-election campaign.
President Biden releasing this letter, quote, "I believe it is in the best interest for me to stand down."
Real news and great conversation.
You can count on it on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trigvi Olson, Senior Advisor with the Lincoln Project.
You know, one of the things I think that you've done with this show, and I'm proud to be a part of it, is we've really tried to get out and listen to people.
And that's why I'm so thankful to work for a company like Civic Media that allows us to do that. Because the more we get out and listen to our friends and neighbors, we discover they're not our enemy. We're all Americans, and yeah. It really is a melting pot.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark, and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, What's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
The cushy stuff started.
Welcome back on a Thursday morning. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you. Thanks for tagging along with me. Hey, I'm not mad at the forecast today. And in fact, it lines up pretty well with what the Old Farmer's Almanac recommends you get done today. I'm in the astrology section of the book where it lists what activities you should do based on what the moon is doing. So here we go. Today is a good day to make hay. Now, most of Wisconsin is done with their second cutting, and some of you have texted in that you're starting your third. The Old Farmer's Almanac also says it's a good day to get your windows washed and do some painting. Not too bad of a chore list when the weather is going to be warm and dry. But even when it's not raining, you're probably feeling the implications of rain in the form of bug bites. If you feel like you've been getting bit by mosquitoes more than last year, you're not alone. We've talked a lot about the impact of rain this morning from the field to your favorite fishing spot. The wet spring and summer has also boosted mosquito populations. Charity Seebecker has the story.
State entomologist PJ Leash offers valuable recommendations to both the public and farmers to mitigate mosquito bites and breeding grounds.
Yeah, well, the rain certainly has had an impact on our mosquitoes, and in many parts of the state, there is pretty high mosquito pressure out there. I have been getting reports from around Wisconsin, and especially some areas such as the western part of the state, the Driftless area where there's more woods, and also the North Woods. Those parts of the state in particular seem to have really high mosquito pressure. The North Woods isn't too surprising with all the water. We always seem to have mosquitoes up there. But again, southwestern Wisconsin, some surprisingly high pressure there. Once you get into more urban, suburban areas, it's maybe not quite as bad, but still a definite presence this year. And because of their association with water, the rain has certainly helped mosquitoes out.
So what types of mosquitoes then are most prevalent this season? Are there any significant health risks, or is there just one type of mosquito? I guess I don't even know.
It turns out we actually have a whole bunch of different types of mosquitoes, and if you start splitting some fine hairs, we actually have between 50 and 60 different species of mosquitoes known from Wisconsin. There can be some very subtle but important distinctions between these in terms of their biology and behavior and potential to spread or carry diseases. Now, I mentioned that we are having some very strong mosquito pressure in many parts of the state. Some good news at this point, though, is that I've been keeping an eye on some of the statistics that are being published for diseases like West Nile virus, which is probably our main mosquito spread disease that I think of in the state. And things are really pretty good at the moment in terms of activity of that disease. It's a little bit interesting, because we actually tend to see more West Nile virus in parts of the country where you actually have drier conditions, and that's a little bit counterintuitive, but there's some interesting dynamics that come into play. But when I think of West Nile virus, the highest states tend to be locations such as California, Colorado, Arizona, kind of that drier southwestern part of the U.S. So we're actually sitting pretty good at the moment here in Wisconsin.
What recommendations do you have for farmers or even the public then to minimize those mosquito bites that keep us up itching at night and reduce the breeding grounds around their homes?
Yeah, so a number of things that you can do. You just hit on one of them, which is reducing those breeding grounds or breeding habitat around your home or around your farm. And what I'm getting at is really standing water. Now, sometimes this is out of our hands. If you have a farm pond, you know, we're just not going to drain that. But you can look in your yard, and be it on a farm or in an urban area, look for standing water. That could be a clogged gutter. That could be a low-lying spot on a tarp that's covering some firewood. It could be a kid's toy in the sandbox that fills up with a bit of water. Even something as small as the plastic bottle cap from a bottle of water, if that is on the ground, upside down, it fills with water, a little bit of organic material from a fallen leaf or something like that, that can breed a decent number of mosquitoes. So going through your yard, diligently getting rid of things like that, maybe if it's something that normally has water in it, like a bird bath, make sure you're changing out that water about once a week or so. The longer the water sits there, if it's in the range of a week and a half, 2 weeks, that might be enough to get some mosquitoes out of it. So reducing that water in and around your yard, that can help to a certain extent because some mosquitoes stay relatively close to home. They don't fly very far when the adults emerge. Some other things to protect yourself: if it's not too hot, wearing long sleeve clothing is a great way because you have a physical barrier between the mosquitoes and your skin. If they can't get to you, they can't bite you. Then there's also some really effective repellents if they're used properly. And I always recommend that folks check the label, make sure they are getting an EPA registered repellent.
Be sure to take proper precautions as we continue to have warm weather and possible rains to truly enjoy being outside without the nuisance of these pesky insects. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Thank you, Charity, and a great reminder as folks make their weekend plans, don't forget the bug spray. And don't forget that EverEgg joins us later in the hour for a look at how milk production is shaping today's dairy markets. And our new farm team member, Ben Jarbo, takes us to the anniversary celebration at the Farm Wisconsin Discovery Center.
The old world staples, they stay, but there's new flavors on the way. That's the theme at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke here reminding you their retail location, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrota Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. Skip the store. Go to Bavaria Sausage. You can shop anytime online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, BavariaSausage.com. I was talking with Scott about some of the new flavors they've got in their test kitchen right now. One that's been a success and will become a staple, the Berkshire Brat. Scott said that he's going to give people an opportunity to actually visit with the farmers that he's working with to produce those Berkshire Brats. And right now they're taking a look at other new flavors. Best thing you can do, check back their social media pages, Facebook, for example, find out about updates, or better yet, stop in the store and ask the staff for samples. Again, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrota Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1, Bavaria Sausage.
It's time for the grooviest event of the summer at the Wisconsin State Fair. Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular, August 1st through the 11th.
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
The Farm Wisconsin Discovery Center in Manitowoc is celebrating its 6th anniversary, and they've got a lot of great opportunities for you to have some fun with the family. Ben Jarbo talks to program manager Abigail Winkle.
We are really looking forward to turning 6 here at Farm Wisconsin and celebrating with a 3-day weekend event capped off by free youth admission. All 3 days, you can come on out and meet some of our goat friends that will be here, as well as try our new menu releasing at the Wisconsin Cafe. So breakfast and lunch served here on site. And then each day, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, unique events. So some of those events that are going to be going on, we will have American Drone here on site on Thursday with some drone demonstrations, really highlighting technology and agriculture. Unique on Friday, come out and learn about floral arranging, another unique aspect to agriculture, thanks to the Mishicot FFA students. And on Saturday, special guests, 77th Alice in Dairyland, Haley Heinzel, as well as the Sheboygan County Fairest of the Fair, Elizabeth Beneke, will both be on site. So each day, something unique going on, really highlighting the diversity of agriculture here in Wisconsin.
Have you noticed any big changes in this place over the last 6 years, like new exhibits and just changes in agriculture?
We really have grown immensely since opening our doors in July of 2018. Along the way, we have found that collaborating and partnering with members of the agriculture community have really allowed us to share the story best. So we're grateful for those partnerships, both, you know, family farms that are sharing their story, as well as bringing in industry professionals to talk about corn, cranberries, Christmas trees, you name it.
How many people would you say come through here in a year, even a day when you're open?
Tens of thousands of people have walked through our doors since opening in July of 2018. And one of the really neat parts is that we see people travel from quite a distance to be here. On average, people travel 50 miles to come to Farm Wisconsin. So we know that we're reaching those urban consumers, people that are in the Fox Valley, people that are in Milwaukee, maybe people that are driving from Chicago to Door County. And we've even had international guests come to visit to learn about agriculture here in our state.
Abigail Winkle says that one of their biggest draws is the birthing barn. Since 2018, the facility has welcomed 750 calves. Maybe you'll get to witness that in person this week. You can find the list of anniversary events at farmwisconsin.org. This morning from Chicago, cash corn is sitting neutral at 4.03¾. Cash soybeans are down 4¼ cents at 11.06¾. And cash and new crop wheat is down 2.5 cents, trading at 5.44½. The August Class 3 milk contract is up 2 cents at $20.45 a hundredweight. The September contract is up 4 cents at $21.37. We'll take a look at what's influencing our dairy markets this morning with EverAg. Don't go anywhere.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Two significant wins for Ohio voters, with signatures certified for a citizen-led redistricting commission ballot measure and a federal court ruling striking down a portion of a state voter suppression law. Ohio Capital Journal reports that the Citizens Not Politicians redistricting ballot measure had 535,000 of its signatures from 58 counties certified July 23rd, successfully placing it on the November ballot. The measure proposes a 15-member citizen commission of Republicans, Democrats, and Independents, none of whom can be current or former politicians or lobbyists. It also forbids redistricting for partisan advantage and requires a fully transparent process. It's likely the state GOP will mount a counteroffensive since fair maps threaten its supermajority. A federal judge struck down a provision in the HB 458 voter suppression law, which allows only immediate family members to assist disabled voters, and made non-family assistance subject to felony charges. The ruling confirmed Section 8 of the Voting Rights Act, allowing disabled voters to appoint the person of their choice to assist, and protects democracy groups and others from prosecution for doing so. The judge also dismissed a motion that the disabled voter did not have a private right of action. That corrosive tactic was used successfully in an Arkansas case and expected to be brought to the U.S. Supreme Court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, honey bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We'll rehash Joe Biden's speech to the nation, and we'll see if Crudy can hold his good mood all the way to the weekend. Devils.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
What's happening?
Yes, from a market perspective, Wisconsin now has logged more than two consecutive years of growth. On the flip side, California, they've seen more or less decline for the past 2 years. I think in California right now, you've got a few different things going on. So one, just from a dairy perspective, you know, for a long time, like back in the 90s when California grew a lot, people moved to California to build dairies because you could buy cheap feed from the Midwest and have really big open lot farms. As we look at California today, the cost of doing business, the cost of building a dairy in California has gotten more and more expensive. And so when we talk to our customers out in California, as they're looking at things, if they're going to build another dairy, a lot of times they're looking at doing that somewhere else in the U.S. They're not looking at reinvesting in California. Or they're doing other things with their money. So instead of adding more cows, you know, we've seen so many people do things like add almond trees for over the past decade as well. And so it, to us, it does feel like that California milk production, they're still the biggest state. But from that perspective, we're not going to see any sort of meaningful growth in California, I don't know, for a long, long time. On the flip side, here in Wisconsin, people are still committed to the dairy industry, and we still see plenty of growth. And so I'd say that's generally true, that across the Midwest, we're seeing more and more growth in dairy. We have access to feed, access to water, good climate for cows. And so because of that, when people look to invest, it's here in the Midwest.
And that's plain as day in this latest milk production report, Katie. I mean, I'm taking a look now. South Dakota really saw gains compared to 2023. Mm-hmm. But then we see our other states like New Mexico, Arizona, seeing declines. So is it strictly weather-related or are there other issues?
A little bit weather, but I would even say a lot of it's about water access as well. That, you know, Texas was up in this latest report, but they had been down a lot over the past year as well. That I think producers who we've seen a lot of growth a while ago in Arizona, Texas, New Mexico, again, because people could get lots of land for fairly cheap and put up a dairy. But now, I mean, the realization is that if you don't have a lot of water to water those crops or keep those cows fed and with drink, it's a spot where all of a sudden we're seeing contraction. We've seen a lot of sellouts in New Mexico. And as those dairies come up for sale, it's very hard to find a buyer because people know that long term, New Mexico just isn't a great spot. On the flip side, you mentioned South Dakota. From a South Dakota perspective, we've seen lots and lots of investment there. We've seen new investment in plant capacity as well. And so the processors are there and the dairies are coming to fill them. Whereas it becomes a big question, we're going to see a big new cheese plant open in Kansas later this year, another one in Texas in 2025. And there's some serious questions down there about, hey, we're putting in all these new cheese plants, but where's the milk going to come from?
Katie, you and I have talked a lot about the production side of the equation. Is that primarily what has been driving our Class 3 milk prices? I mean, on the close yesterday, cheese was higher. The Class 3 milk contracts were trading up. What's at play here? What's the biggest influence on those prices?
Yeah, I think you're right, Stephanie. Right now, people have been very focused on supply. So we've got this longer-term milk production contracting across the U.S. generally. And then on top of that, it's summertime. It's been hot out. California had a really hot stretch earlier in July that impacted output out there. Producers on the East Coast tell us that they've seen milk down due to the heat as well. You know, even here in Wisconsin, it hasn't been so, so hot. It's kind of just a normal summer weather, what people would expect. But given that milk supply was already in a pretty balanced position, the fact that it's coming down seasonally does make it feel a little tighter. So given that, right now we are seeing some really good milk prices for producers across the second half of 2024. And when you look at where milk prices are today, they're so much improved compared to earlier this year. At the same time, feed costs are coming down. And so hopefully it'll amount to some pretty good margins at the farm level for dairy producers here.
It's National Ice Cream Month. I know I've been eating more ice cream. Our newest farm team member, Ben Jarbo, made an ice cream stop yesterday. Is that having any influence on consumption and any fun consumer trends you can share for us today?
As we look at ice cream demand, it's been holding in there. I would say one maybe fun fact or things we've heard from about ice cream demand is that some of our customers tell us that this year they've seen less sale of pints, but more sale of bulk ice cream, like in a pail or something like that. Because, I mean, groceries are expensive, and so people aren't necessarily splurging for the little pints of ice cream, but they still want ice cream. So they're maybe going to pick up that value pail, make some ice cream sundaes for the family. And so I think that's one of those things that consumers do love ice cream, and they're going to find a way to keep it in the cart and enjoy it at home.
Hey, I'm not going to complain about the family size pail in the freezer. So. Katie, anything else you want to leave us with before I let you go today?
Just one more fun fact for today. Yesterday, we saw the whey market get up to 54 cents. That's the highest it's been since 2022. And, I mean, we don't talk about the whey market a lot, but high-protein whey products, like things that go into sports nutrition or protein powders, that's been doing pretty good, too. And so, along with cheese, it's nice to see that whey price a little bit higher because that all comes back to Wisconsin dairy producers.
Katie Burgess along with us, Director of Risk Management at EverEgg. She's easy to find online. Just visit EVER.AG. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. Thanks for tagging along with us on a Thursday.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
Are you a veteran who needs assistance? Do you know a veteran who needs help? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is here for Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. We can help connect veterans with services such as medical care, financial and legal assistance, housing, mental health services, substance use treatment, and more. For more information, please visit wisvets.com. That's wisvets.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, with funding provided by the Milwaukee Brewers and the Brewers Community Foundation.
The Baby Steps approach to regenerative agriculture, today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Farmers have enough risk on their plate in a normal year. Layering in new practices is something they tend to take slowly. Take regenerative agriculture. Belzoni, Mississippi farmer Bill Parks.
I'm a curious farmer. I like to know the why to a lot of things. And, you know, you can quickly get lost on Google and just these blogs and everything. And it was intriguing, interesting.
Parks took a typical approach to regenerative ag practices.
Start small and have a little faith and a little patience and just give it a try, because you never know. It might work out. It's a trial and error thing. All the farmers know that each year is not going to be the same. And so just giving it a try for soil health and ultimately growing my crop or all of the crops as efficiently as possible.
Parks offers a practical approach to learning more.
You know, if you're curious, my take would be just pull up and ask for a lot of these things. If you're curious how an operation runs or what a farmer's doing on there, you'll be astounded how many people just want to share your ideas. You have a lot of farmers, I guess the older generation, not accessible to social media, who's not up on that as of yet. And those are the ones that have the most knowledge of all, you know, because they've been doing it.
Tomorrow, an Illinois farmer shares his approach to regenerative ag. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, we'll be revisiting some of Kamala's best moments versus Brett Kavanaugh, Bill Barr, and Jeff Sessions. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Few Wisconsin events bring 600,000 people together from 80 different countries, but it happens every summer in Oshkosh.
Oshkosh has become synonymous with the world of flight and with EAA.
Dick Napinski's worked with EAA Air Venture for more than 30 years and knows its history. Do you? Where did EAA start? Wausau, La Crosse, or Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The fly-in is spread across 1,600 acres with more than 10,000 airplanes. It brings a big boost to the economy, too.
It's $170 million of economic impact and more than $110 million of direct spending.
So where did EAA start? Milwaukee in 1953 called the Wisconsin Air Pageant with 21 planes. All moved to Oshkosh in 1970, a high-flying slice of Wisconsin. It's happening July 22nd to the 28th. I'm Terry Barr. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden addressing the nation from the White House.